This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
We have the opportunity to talk to a couple of archaeologists who have been working at Tel Lachish in recent years. One of the most exciting discoveries that topped our list of the best biblical archaeology of the year was this ivory comb that was found in 2016. And we talked with Michael Hassel at Southern Adventist University at the time. He's a professor of Near Eastern Studies and Archaeology. And now we're joined by Joseph Garfinkel of Hebrew University of Jerusalem, a professor of biblical archaeology, to fill us in on what's been happening with that development. You were both a part of a symposium that was held at Southern Adventist University. Tell us, why was this symposium held and what was accomplished?
Well, we were very excited to have the opportunity to bring the comb for the first time to the United States with the assistance of the Israel Antiquities Authority and the Israel Museum, where it's been on display since 2023. Professor Garfinkel organized a very wonderful conference there on epigraphy and on the development of writing with scholars from all over the world, and it has been at the Israel Museum until now. And so we were able to debut the comb here at our university and in our museum this weekend. So we're very excited that it's here. And we also held a symposium here reconstructing the history of Lachish, how the comb was originally found, what the process was finding the inscription, and then the decipherment of the comb, and then its impact and importance for the development of language. So that was our last couple of days here.
For those who don't remember, this is the first full sentence in an alphabetical script that has been found. Written on this comb was the phrase, "May this tusk root out the lice of the hair and the beard." That dates to about 1700 BC, I believe. How is the dating done on this?
This is a good question. There is a heavy debate about when the alphabet was invented. The earliest idea put it in the 19th century BC, and the later put it in the 15th or even 14th century BC. So we put the middle, more or less, the 7th century BC. But you should know that we try to have radiocarbon dating of the comb because it's made from ivory, and ivory is organic material. So we scrape some part of the ivory from the other side, not the side of the inscription, of course. We send it to Oxford University for radiocarbon dating. It failed because there was not enough carbon in the sample. And then we tried again, and it's also failed in the second time. So we don't have absolute dating of the comb. Maybe in the future, when the radiocarbon technology will be more advanced, it will be possible to do it.
So it's more epigraphically by the design of the letters in the words?
Exactly. The shape of the letter is very archaic. It's similar to Egyptian hieroglyph, which were used as the sign of the alphabet. And that means that it's middle bronze, more or less. And indeed, there is another middle bronze artifact from Lachish, which has a proto-Canaanite inscription on it.
So the letters are very pictographic still, as Egyptian hieroglyphs were also pictographic. Most scholars believe that the alphabet developed from Egyptian. We have examples from Wadi el-Hol in Egypt near Thebes, also from Serabit el-Khadim, a turquoise mining area in the Sinai Peninsula where these inscriptions were found in the past. So we have an idea of some of these early scripts. The inscription on this comb looks most like that form of the alphabet, which was very, very early. Just to give you an example, one of the letters in that old script in Hebrew today is Kof. Kof means monkey in Hebrew, and this particular comb has two of them on the inscription, and they actually look like monkeys. They have a body, a head, a tail. Later on, these letters became, of course, more abstract as time went on, but in the earlier period, we have more a pictographic script, just like we have in the Egyptian. So this allowed us to guess a date, a very strong hypothetical guess based on other parallels that we had from previous inscriptions.
So the Kof eventually became the letter Q with a little tail.
Exactly.
That's right.
By the way, this very early alphabetic script, the letters are very similar to capital A, to capital letter in English today. If you take A, the letter A It was a head of a bull and two horns. And what do you have today in A? It was turned like this, but you have two legs. These are the horns. And then the head, which is triangle in shape.
So the development of the alphabet is something we want to talk about a little bit further. I think when I first started doing this program decades ago, the development of the alphabet at Serabit El-Kadem was dated, I don't know, 1500 BC, and then Wadi al-Hol, 1600, and Wadi al-Hol pushed it back several hundred more years. And now just in the last few months, we've had another pushback, perhaps to 2400 BC with this discovery of what looks like an alphabetic script in Syria that was dug up around 2010, about 15 years ago. Do you have any opinion on the alphabetic script from Syria? Does that look interesting?
Well, if this is really an alphabet, it didn't affect the one in Sinai. So maybe it was invented two times. It's a possibility. But when I looked at the so-called inscriptions, I didn't see even one sign appearing again and again. Each one of the signs that was published is individually. And if it's an alphabet, you would expect some letter to appear again and again. So I'm not convinced that this is really an alphabet.
For those who have just joined us, we're talking with Michael Hassel of Southern Adventist University and Joseph Garfinkel of Hebrew University in Jerusalem about a symposium that was held on the ivory comb that was found in 2016 and announced in 2022 with the first alphabetic inscription, alphabetic sentence that's been found archaeologically. So we have also with this ivory comb, this was used to, as the sentence says, may it root out the lice of the hair on their beard. There was actually a louse found in this comb. Did that reveal anything?
Yes, of course. So what happened was the comb was found, as you mentioned, in 2016 during our excavations. One of our students from Southern Adventist University discovered the comb. And then we had the zooarchaeologist on our team, Dr. Ed Mahar, look at it. It was determined that it was a comb, an object, and that it was most likely out of ivory. That was confirmed later on through scientific analysis. But about 5.5 years later, Dr. Mamshuglu in Jerusalem, who was going to be publishing the combs, we have two of them, one out of bone and one out of ivory, she started working on them, and she was very interested in looking for hair lice and even maybe doing some DNA analysis. So she was microscopically looking at the combs, and when she was looking at the ivory comb, she discovered between two of the small teeth on the bottom of the comb, she found a small exoskeleton of a nymph, of a baby louse, if you will, which was very exciting to her to, you know, see this louse after 3,700 years or so. Yeah, so we never got any DNA analysis on it, but she then took a picture with her iPhone of the overall comb and brought in some light from nearby. And as she did that, she noticed the letter, an X, which is Tav, and also a W kind of looking letter that we know later on. And so she got very excited and thought maybe these were letters. She contacted Dr. Daniel Weinstube, who was our epigrapher, and after careful analysis of the comb, we found this inscription, and he worked very hard to decipher that. What's interesting is, yes, as you mentioned, the comb is ivory, and the inscription says, may this tusk, literally the word is chet, may this tusk root out the lice from the hair and beard. And so we have an artifact that has an inscription on it, a wish, if you will, on it, that also describes very specifically the function of the object upon which the wish has been placed. And the louse that was found indicates that that object fulfilled its function. So mm-hmm. It's very interesting to have that combination. It's kind of, you know, very banal and very common. And yet at the same time, for archaeology, it kind of is interesting. We usually don't have artifacts that tell us what the artifact is to be used for.
And the louse actually was what led to the discovery of the inscription.
Yeah, she was looking at the through the microscope, and then she thought she'd get some overall pictures, and she found the inscription. The inscription is very small and was not seen earlier by any of the archaeologists looking at it.
The comb is only 3.5 centimeters wide, and each line has about 8 to 9 letters. Now, it's very thin also. If somebody will engrave on it hard enough, it will break. It's a soft material after all and very thin. So the guy who wrote in size, I don't know what material he was using, but he didn't put much pressure because the comb, the ivory would be break. So the incisions are very, very shallow, maybe 1 millimeter or even less than 1 millimeter. Some letters are a bit deeper. And if you hold it in your hand and look at it, you don't see the letters. Only when the light, if it's a bit darker and you have light from the side, then you start seeing the letters. Even after it was noticed that we have an inscription and I hold it in my hand and look at it, I couldn't see it. But that I know that there is an inscription on it. It was photographed in a special method that you put it in the center and there is light from all over, different type of light. And the camera take 20, 30 photographs and then they are combined together. And this is the way to really see the letters, the best way to see the letters.
Sounds like some of the dramatic archaeological discoveries like the Tel Dan Stele that were found in the late afternoon when the light was coming in at an angle and made the lettering stand out. Well, you have been excavating at Tel Lachish, and you mentioned that another inscription was found. Is Lachish as a site important for the development of writing besides these discoveries we've been talking about?
If you look at the history of Lachish, you can see that this is really the site which produced more inscriptions than any other Canaanite site in Israel. We already have from the Middle Bronze 2 inscriptions and from the Late Bronze around 10. And if you look at other sites, you can have one here or one there. So Lachish really looked like the hub, I don't know if invented, but adopted and kept this writing from generation to generation.
The ancient city of Lachish may be not that familiar to readers of the Bible, but an important Canaanite city that has given us written examples that show how the early alphabet developed during the Middle Bronze Age. Later, when Israelites occupied Lachish, it was the second most important city in the Kingdom of Judah after Jerusalem. We'll continue this conversation about the development of the alphabet in our next program with Michael Hassel, Professor of Near Eastern Studies and Archaeology and Director of the Institute of Archaeology at Southern Adventist University, and Yosef Garfinkel, Professor of Biblical Archaeology at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. We had a picture of this ivory comb on the cover of Artifacts, our biblical archaeology news magazine, when its discovery was announced. Artifacts is a good way to keep up to date on biblical archaeology's latest discoveries and developments. You can find subscription information at our website, radioscribe.com. We also have breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority at radioscribe.com. If you're listening on Spotify or other podcast service, your positive review can help more people learn about biblical archaeology. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for joining us. We hope you'll come back again for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.
Thank you.